The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John Lance along with Dell. 2.5 hours. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. We're in Houston. Lance is in L.A. What's going on?
Oh, remember that time that we used to wake up for a little bit and do the 5.30 a.m. show, 6.10? Remember when we were on from 5.30 to 9 because Van Rysdam thought that was a good idea? Like, we need to have you on 5.30. That's when your thing, when you said, who was it, Donut Makers? Like, we were crackheads. There was only a very few amount of people listening. You were playing to a very small... You said something about, you know, hello to the people who are, you know, the prostitutes and all this stuff.
That yeah.
That were up with us.
Yeah, right. The crackheads, yeah. Remember? We had cocaine users, donut makers, donuts, and prostitutes.
People, yeah. And we had to do that for, I don't know how long that was, at least a year. That's what this is like, doing it on Pacific Coast time. It's not awesome, and it was less awesome yesterday with the Astros result. I mean, I don't know who was in the body of Charlie Morton, but it was not. If this was Freaky Friday, and they had, you know, I don't know who he switched bodies with, but whoever it was, they weren't throwing strikes.
Well, no, and when they did throw strikes, they were over the plate and hittable.
They were very hittable. I tell you, the Angels are... I'm not ready to say that you'll fly too. I'm not ready to say that Otani is Pennywise from a pitching standpoint yet. But I will say that is Mike Trout gave you a serious reminder that, hey, guys, I just want to remind you that I'm Mike Trout. And I can still mess you up. I'm still probably the best young hitter in baseball.
Oh, yeah. No. There's no question. He is the best. And look at, he's already got 10 homers, 11. What is he, 11 now? I mean, it's just stupid how good that dude is. He's the best player in baseball. And in the difference, here's the deal, is last year this Astros team wins that game. They come up with the clutch hit late. That was one of the things. Yeah. If you looked at close and late last year by the Astros, they won a ton of games. It didn't matter that they were down going into the seventh inning. It didn't matter in the eighth. You know, Gonzalez, Marwin standing there watching to end the eighth, and then Fisher watching and taking a called strike to end the game. I mean, these are pitches that these guys were driving last year, and they're just not. And AJ talked about it after the game. He said, you know, they really didn't hit us that well. They just took advantage of every opportunity that they had. I mean, they hit solo homers. The Simmons 3-run homer. It's not like they just crushed the ball against the Astros, but they took advantage of every opportunity. And the Astros are just leaving so many guys on base this year. That's the biggest difference between this year and last year, is that they're not coming up with these close and late hits.
Yeah, and that really was, you know what, and you're right, that really was the point. If that's the point AJ made, if you think about it, it's really baseball and what the Astros do. Really, anybody. It's just about, it's not necessarily about, it is more about how many opportunities you have and how many you convert. And their conversion, and that actually has been an issue at different times over, you know, the last 4 years since they've become, it's almost like since the new era of Astros baseball in 2015, because that was really when the Astros baseball really just, you know, began for all intents and purposes. And ever since that time, they go through stretches of being, and I suppose every Major League Baseball team does this. You go through stretches of being, you know, quote unquote clutch or not clutch. But at the end of the day, it's not really about being clutch or not clutch. All it is executing LOB situations. When there's men on base, do you leave them or do you drive them? You don't have to drive them in all the time. But if you are efficient and you are knocking them in seventh, eighth, ninth, when there's men on base, and you're right, that has been, last year they were the best. I mean, there's a reason that they won so many games, because when they had men on base, seventh inning or beyond, man, it was the greatest Astro team ever for knocking runs in seventh, eighth, ninth. Greatest ever. It wasn't even close.
No, that was the, and look at in the playoffs and against the best pitchers. Last year, that team just came up with hit after hit after hit late. You can go back and look at all those games last year, and they came up with late runs. And here's the deal, too, Lance, is the bottom of the order. It was unbelievable how many. That's why nobody drove in 100 runs last year, because everybody drove in 80. Oh, the whole lineup drove in 80. It seemed like everybody was right around the 80 RBI mark last year because everybody was contributing. You're not getting that this year. And you're stranding runners all the time. Every seems like every inning somebody's walking or getting to second, a single and a walk, and you just don't come up with that big hit. That's the difference, and they got to start doing that, and especially at home. This is inexplicable. Of course, it's inexplicable what the Angels are doing. Were they 11-1 on the road now?
Yeah,
11-1 on the road, and what is it? What are they, 5-7 at home?
5-7?
5-7 at home.
I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is a team that plays well, and the Astros are playing well on the road, too, for whatever reason. Reagan tweeted yesterday, well, they've got all these, you know, all these responsibilities at home, kids, wife, all that stuff. That's why that's not. Oh, really? That means that no home team can win because they've all got families. That's not it, Reagan. That's just not it.
I remember at the end of it was kind of a joke where he said, they just like getting out and say, hey, you know what? Here I am, no kids, no families. I got a son at home throwing up right now. My wife, I talked to her multiple times yesterday. He was wailing through the night until about 3 a.m.
Thank God you're not home.
I feel like my road game is better than my home game right now. I feel like I got to, you know, when you're away from that stuff, you feel like, you know, even if I'm waking up at 4 a.m. my time and trying to get this stuff done,
No. It's great to be on. Don't get me wrong, especially when you got a gaggle of children at home throwing up on each other. It's awesome to be on the road. Don't get me wrong.
Of course, these are young guys too, though. They're not. They don't have a bunch of kids. Like, no, Verlander doesn't have kids either, does he?
No, he's got.
Who's
Kate.
The guy? Who are the players with the kids on this team?
Altuve, and is it showing or not?
No, all he does is rake.
Oh, does he? Oh, really? Okay, who has more homers, Derek Fisher or Jose Altuve?
Well, okay, he's not hitting homers. He's right around the 350 mark again.
Yeah, but that's bothering me. Okay, this whole
what, no, his Jose Altuve's not bombing people out.
No, listen, his lack of power this year. I mean, obviously the average is still there, and his on base is still there, but he's definitely his slugging is down.
Let me tell you, if he hits 30 home runs, I'm getting worried. I'm like, please don't test.
Dude, no, but he's not driving the ball like he was. There's no question. I'm not worried about Jose Altuve hitting because he's going to hit, and he's still getting base hits, and that's all fine and good. But again, it's the lack of power that this team has displayed last year. That was not only did they hit and up and down the order,
well,
the averages,
right with it.
But they were hitting for power.
I didn't really realize that. You're right with Altuve. His slugging is below his on base.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not hitting.
That's the awesomest line.
Yeah,
when you're slugging is below your on base. That's called an awesomest.
It's
the only. Besides Bregman, he's the only awesomest on the team.
Yeah, no, this team is not.
Marwin is too.
It's not coming together yet for them offensively. I mean, as much as we don't worry and blah blah blah. I mean, we're.
They had 14 hits and 7 runs yesterday. I mean, that should be a W.
Well, that should be, except they left a bunch of guys. I mean, they left.
Right, but, I mean, you know, Charlie's got to do his job. And Joe Smith, we're done with this thing, right?
No, Joe Smith's not a done thing yet, okay? That's it, Joe. No.
Why do we keep doing this Joe Smith thing?
Well, Joe's. Is there anyone less nondescript than Joe Smith? I mean,
pitches like Joe Smith.
Joe Smith. I mean, good Lord. It's like the Texans uniforms. It's just so blah.
What do you throw, Joe? Oh, just a little change up in a two seamer.
Yeah. How's this?
Okay.
And I'm gonna come from Laredo, okay? I'm coming from down under. And let's see if you can I can crush this. Yeah. Oh no. I mean, what is the infatuation with that of the with Neshek and now this and just getting blasted? Joe Smith.
I mean,
just
Joe Smith hasn't been terrible, but he has had a couple of bad games that have kind of ruined him. But I don't think he's, you know, he doesn't strike me as a guy who will be on that roster by the end of the season. I bet they have a different arm. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, John. 14 hits and 7 runs is enough. It should be enough in any and every game. I get the left off. I mean, sometimes you got to step up and score. And yesterday they needed that. But, I mean, the bats have woken up pretty good here over the last 2 weeks. It's other than that shutout. I mean, maybe last 10 games, last 10 days rather, not 10 games. But they've woken up a little bit, the bats have.
No.
They've been hitting better.
They have been. And, you know, they hit a couple of homers, which was nice. To see Derek Fisher come through, that was nice. And McCann's been money. Dude has been money early on.
Yeah, he has hit.
He has. He's hit, and he's hit.
Bregman's woken up a little bit. Springer's waking up. You talk about Fisher last night. Marwin, you know, woke up a little bit last night. They're starting to come. The bats are starting to come around. They do need to, if they want to pull games off. See, they got to pull games off, and that's we were just. You're spoiled now. That's what you are. You're spoiled because last year that's a W.
Yep.
They hit. They score 5 in the 8th, and then it turns into a 3-1, 4 run win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're just spoiled.
Right, and you know the bullpen is still a mess. I mean, you can't count on anybody out there. There's just nobody you can count on out there, and then you got to come up with that big hit. You know what? This was a game that they won 10-8 last year.
Are they going under the total? Is this win total going under?
No. I mean, they're still on pace. There's, you know, no. Although, you know, they're beating up on the Lambs, and they're struggling with the Lions. So, Gus says that the problem is no club Astros this year. That's the problem.
Are we sure that there's no club Astros? They said they're going to shut it down last year, and I think they, because they were upset that the Cubs had stolen the idea, but then I think it actually was still there. I think they said they were still doing it. And they had an article about the most important guy in the clubhouse is the DJ. There's an article that came out, I think it was yesterday, on ESPN on the Astros section.
The most important guy is the DJ. He is. That's the most important guy in everybody's life. Did you see? Okay. How did Philadelphia win the series? Meek Mill rang the bell.
Oh my gosh! I can't. That was the lead story on ESPN. Meek Mill is out of prison, watching 76ers clinch.
How about that? Is anybody as woke as ESPN? No. Maybe
Meek Mill is out of prison. I was like.
Meek is out of prison. That's ESPN's lead.
Well, that's Robert Kraft went to go see Meek Mill.
Of course he
and
did.
Meek Mill is a Philadelphia guy, so, you know, I guess.
So the sports Bhagwan apparently is listening to you, and he put out pictures of home Lance versus road Lance. And home Lance is standing there with his arms folded looking badass in his skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And then Lance.
No, road Lance is much better. No, he's probably doing the one where I'm laying down where I was sick.
Well, that was you, road. That's road Lance.
Yeah, that is true. That was, but that's when I was on pain medicine with no food on my. I didn't realize I was supposed to not do that.
Why would you?
That was the truth.
Why would you ever make that picture of you public? You tweeted that picture of yourself out.
I can't remember somebody said, "Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember," and I can't untake it.
You can't. You can't unring the bell. That bell's rung, and now everybody has that picture of you.
I can't untake it.
No, you can't.
That was a bad day. Boy, that was a bad day.
Yeah, that was when you
snapped in half.
Remember when you broke your whole leg walking? Remember?
Yeah, that was a bad day. And to this day, I'll never forget, Chris Solis told me, yeah, that's never going to come all the way back.
No.
And I said, what? And as I walk around today and it's mostly healed, I realize, yeah, it's not all the way back.
I always
feel that pain in different areas of my foot. Like, yeah, it's never coming back. It's not going to.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the Joe Smith, KJ. That's the different Joe Smith. He was the number one pick in the NBA draft.
So he didn't migrate to a relief pitcher, Joe Smith from Maryland?
No, that's a different one. Remember, number one overall pick. What did he do? He got paid. Was it? There was something fishy about Joe Smith. Remember?
I remember.
Yeah, they paid him. It was Kevin McHale's team, right? They paid him under the
table.
They basically were paying him under the table, and they lost a draft pick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, that's a different. I think that's a different one because I don't think this Joe Smith would be the number one pick in the NBA draft. Not, I don't think that this Joe Smith that we saw last night giving up bombs would be the number one pick in the draft. I'm just saying.
No.
All right. Let's.
Do you think Meek Mill's ever going to go to an Astros game?
I would hope so. I would hope he's going to write them all songs, and then they'll start hitting homers again.
Seems unlikely.
Is he just going to go to a Philly game, you know, with the Astros on the road?
Yeah.
Or is he going to come to an Astros game?
Well, I don't know if he's all about the Phillies. I know he's about the Eagles, right? He wrote their song that they came out in.
Well, no, he didn't. That's a song from years ago that they adopted because, obviously, Freed McMill, he's from Philly, so they used that song as their intro song for the Super Bowl, but it was explicitly for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, no.
It's one of his best
songs. That's what they used, right, to come out?
Well, yeah, he's one of them.
Yeah. And then he's ringing the bell for the Sixers. So, but I don't know
so
if he's
here's
about
the ironic thing, John. All this Meek Mill being in prison and jail or whatever and getting out, this is the best thing to happen in his career ever. Because what is he known for, Dell, before all this stuff happens?
He was known for being a guy who rapped about some of some aspects of life that some people might not be comfortable with. He was a well known rapper.
Right, but what happened to him in like the summer of like 15?
For you fame pop whores, he and Nicki Minaj were together, and then the Drake thing happened as well.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Tell John what happened with the Drake thing. Basically, he was obliterated publicly and shamed and embarrassed so badly by Drake in a diss battle that his whole career was basically over.
And now, after he got arrested?
Well, he's back.
His career was over for some people, but people who like him as an actual artist were fine with Meek. But
didn't
yeah.
Nicki Minaj break up with him because of it, because she was so embarrassed?
No, it's a rap. It was a rap relationship. How long did you think it was going to last?
Yeah, Nicki Minaj.
What are you talking about?
Nicki Minaj said, "Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed to be with him."
Lance is speaking.
He just
got
slaughtered. I'm breaking up with him.
Meek Mill had a reputation of being really good at what he does, and then people knew him who didn't know him for his music for what happened with Drake and what happened with Nicki. But Meek's going to be fine.
You know what else is fine? Winning at poker.
Did you do it?
I didn't play last time, but I played the other night and I won. And so I went and I saw Steve and Brent and all the good people over there at Prime Social and walked out with some cash. How about that?
Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you. Do you want me to tell you about Prime Social right here, John?
Yeah.
I can do it.
How did you guess that? Deduce that all on your own?
I was trying to put two and two together. I didn't want to leave men on base there and just leave that sponsor out there on second base. I want to drive them home. One of the things I can't wait for draft to be over is because now I can go see my friends over at Prime Social on just a 12 o'clock noon start time tournament. Every day they're jumping off. Every single day there is a noon tournament where they have $5,000 guaranteed. And you know what? I mean, yeah, it's the money, and that's great. There's just something about competing in cards. There's something about the excitement of when you flip those two cards and hold them and you see bullets in there and you're like, okay, now we got something cooking. It's the best feeling. It's one of the best feelings in the world. It's one of the best feelings when you catch a river card that you need and you're out there, you know, taking chances. Prime Social gives you a chance to do that. And if you don't know all the ins and outs of poker, but you want to learn, they can also work with you on that as well. They just got done having this brunch. It was an amazing idea where they teach you how to, you know, they teach you how to bet, betting structure, hand structure. They are much different because, first of all, the facility is beautiful. It's a beautiful facility. Classy. They've got 20 tables, 29 televisions, so you don't miss any of your playoff action, any of your baseball action. You got your Sunday golf. You can see it all while you're playing. And, yes, they have tournaments going every single day, including on Sunday where they started at 2 o'clock, and you've got a chance to make money there. But if cash games are more your thing, they've got cash games as well. You pay one fee to get your membership, and you are in at Prime Social. So make sure that you go by the website and see all the things they have going on. But this is your spot for poker at 7801 Westheimer. You and your neighborhood game, bring it into Prime Social and start playing there with professional dealers. 7801 Westheimer, PrimeSocialTX.com.
Like a startling sign, the fate had finally found me.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I mean, they took more advantage of their opportunities. You know, we had a lot of runners left on, mostly because we had runners on every inning. And that's going to lead to some big numbers if you don't deliver, you know, every hit. We're not going to do that. I mean, we scored, you know, a lot of runs. The game didn't start out very well for us. You know, you fight back. They separate again. You fight back again. Hard fought loss if there ever is one.
That was AJ after the game. Yeah, that was a game that they won last year and that they didn't last night. Verlander today on the mound. It's an afternoon game. I love Wednesday afternoon games. Man, has it been perfect here, Lance? You leave and it can't be nicer out and roof open and just perfect.
It was perfect when I was there. When we had that big rainstorm, it brought in the cool weather. It was nice.
Yeah.
And I never want it to be. And that's where it is. Like where I am right now, yesterday was 65, bright sun. It was beautiful. It was perfect. Eric Layton goes, you should move out here. I said, you know what? I think I am going to. You are getting rid of state income tax, right? He goes, we don't have property taxes like you do.
Yeah.
I said, Eric, the property tax versus state income tax, it's a joke. I'd rather take property tax any day over state income tax.
Well, not if you live in River Oaks, you don't.
No, that's not great.
No. Do you know what they're paying those people? And I like to call them those people because it's not me. You know what?
Yeah.
I think it's okay to call.
They could move out of those. But John, if they'd like, they could move out of those houses, maybe move to my neighborhood. They're going to save a lot more on some of their property taxes.
Well, yeah, they're going to save money on property taxes, but I don't know that. I'm not sure they're going to do that. But is it acceptable, Dell, to say those people when I talk about River Oaks? Is that?
I mean, I don't take offense because we know what those people consist of.
Right.
River Oaks, yeah. And they would the funny thing is, I think they would prefer if you refer to them as those people.
Right, because they don't want me part of their little
they
group.
They want
there.
You to be aware that there's a clear line between you and
right.
them. See, I don't think they'd mind it at all.
No, right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That should be all people feel that way about me.
Well, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I should be able to say those people about everybody.
No, you should. You shouldn't be able to do that.
I should because it's not me. That's what I always. I don't get this. Everybody's offense. It's offensive to say those people because it's not you.
Generally, people don't like to be generalized. They like to be looked at as individuals. They don't like for you to assume that they're just like someone else because they may live near them or
look like
them.
I'm not. I'm not judging. Or if they live in River Oaks, that's those people. Okay, they live there. I'm not generalizing anything.
And you generally. Are those people's court jester? You generally are their entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am. Like, and what are you?
Well, that's what my dad said. But you generally are in their planes or on their golf courses, being the funny man who they hear on the radio. Oh, look at you, funny man! You're on the radio. You want to come play golf with us?
So entertain us.
Yeah.
So what did your dad? You got to tell Lance this story.
I'm not doing that. I'm not your puppet.
I got to hear this.
Oh, you got to hear. Dell's dad listening to the show, and he said, that man you are with. How does he say it?
He's
no,
not
that's
Russian.
Russian.
Why is my
that's
dad
Russian.
An Eastern European man?
He is a clown. He
that
is a clown.
You're with. Why is he such a court jester?
And, you know, he said, that man is a clown, and you are his court jester.
Yeah, wait, that was a while back, though, right?
That's probably 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah.
I've heard this, but that is gold. I'm glad that I was reminded.
How would he say it, Lance?
Yeah, Lance.
Why don't you stop juggling? No, God, dog it. Now I'm doing like an Eastern year. Hold on. I need some time to shake that accent out of my head now. I can't. It's not. I got the wrong accent in my head.
You see? You see, it's impossible to do a Nigerian accent, though.
It's not that difficult. What, the whole cast of Black Panther put one on. What are you talking about? It's not that difficult.
Well, right. Right. But they were living it. Yeah, this is true, KJ. Astros home record with the roof open, not been good this year. And those people in River Oaks spit on property taxes they pay. That's just to keep all of us out. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? That's what they call their home security system.
That's right. That's their home security system is.
You know what? I get over on them every single time I cut through their neighborhood when I'm driving to go to what is that? I can't remember. What's the little road that goes into downtown? Come on.
Kirby?
No, Memorial. Well, I drive through. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But, well, Memorial, yeah, that's on the outer edge. Anyway, yeah, those people, they don't mind paying those taxes. It keeps all of the riffraff.
What's Channel 11 on? What's that road that Channel 11's on?
That's Memorial Parkway.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not so good with
no, we know
roads
that.
In Houston. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
or not.
We're familiar with your work. We are familiar yeah. with your
I
work.
Like to, I love to just go through River Oaks and like, look at us crowding up your streets during Christmas, dummies.
Yeah, how about that?
Look at all these lights that y'all paid $10,000. That was actually a topic on one of my podcasts. It was about how much it cost. And Chris surmised that it was about a $10,000.
Yeah.
Like $10,000 to dress up the, you know, that they pay just to have their Christmas lights put up. I'm like, what? Why am I doing radio? Why am I not doing the Christmas light business?
No, right.
What's the overhead on that?
Yeah, no. That is, yeah, we had that topic here as well.
Well, yeah, whenever we had the we were talking about projection.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the projection. That's right. That's right. It was on this show.
I never use projection lights on my house. But the poors are never going to project lights in my house. I'll pay $10,000 to $20,000 just to entertain the poors.
Keep the poors out. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's talk draft when we come back here on ESPN 97.5. Right. We're going to do that right next right here. But right now, I got to talk about Leonard Courtright. Leonard Courtright, it's a funny name, isn't it? It's a funny name. But you know what? There's nothing funny when you're paying someone to put up your siding on your house and they mess it up. So Leonard Courtright might sound like a funny name, but here's the deal. He's serious about putting up Allied siding. Allied siding and windows. How about this? Never seen a better price. You're paying about, for the average size home in the city of Houston, about $150 a month. You can get this job done for about $150 a month. You got no payments, no interest for the first 18 months, and you got a 30-year prorated warranty. How about that? All I need you to do is call 713-WINDOWS. 713-WINDOWS. They're the best. If you want to dress up this house with the overhangs and the trim and the James Hardy plank, the best in the business, over 1,400 styles and colors to choose from, you're going to love it. James Hardy plank is the best. You just got to call 713-WINDOWS. It's going to take about 30 seconds to set up a 30-minute free estimate. 100% financing, zero down, zero interest for 18 months. $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home siding purchase. 713-WINDOWS, 713-WINDOWS. It's that simple. 713-946-3697. Allied Siding and Windows. Affordable, local, reliable.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell. 713-780-3776. We got the draft tomorrow night. If you've got a question about the draft, we got one of the experts, the premier experts, who's going to take the next 2 days off. By the way, AJ is going to be here tomorrow in studio. AJ's coming in studio tomorrow morning. And then Sean Salisbury Friday. Yeah. How about that? We're going to get Adele. Are you excited about having AJ here?
No.
Okay.
And that's not anything to do with AJ. I wouldn't be excited if you named any name, but why would I be excited about a guy I know and who works here?
Right. No, I get that. I understand. You're not excited about it.
Excited about? No.
What if it was, I don't know, what it was, Ryan Tannehill?
What if Meek Mill's coming in to co-host?
He doesn't play for one of my teams. No, I don't care.
What if it was Dwayne Wade coming in?
Well, that'd be a little side. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be okay.
Very excited.
Yeah. My favorite player of all time, yes, I'd be excited about
okay,
that.
Okay, you'd be excited?
What if it was Zlatan Ibrahimovic was coming in?
I don't care for the Galaxy, so no. And he doesn't.
No, you would be excited.
I mean, no, because Zlatan, when he's not in a soccer jersey, just looks like Euro trash. No.
Okay, first of all, now that is, he is a Bond villain, but pull his comment. We never got to this, and I don't know that John even knows his comments on the Dan Patrick Show. Did you hear what he said, John?
No.
Go pull the audio up, Dell, because I don't even want to tell John. I want to let him hear. This guy is just too good to be true. And apparently, you know, all these quotes, dear Los Angeles, you're welcome, taken up whole page up. He basically said he would have.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that. I saw his quotes.
Seed all over Los Angeles, yes. And helped populate America's sports population.
Right.
Yeah, you did see that.
I saw it, yeah.
If he didn't have a wife and kids. And I feel like saying, well, Tom, why are you lying?
Right.
Stop acting like I'm happily married. Zlatan, please.
Zlatan, okay, you know you're spreading your seed anyway, okay? So
I mean, I don't want to put you on that, but I'm going
No, but we can't put him on blast. Well, of course, his wife isn't listening to the show, so we don't care.
No, his wife is not listening.
No, I don't think his wife is a listener, a bencher. I don't think she is.
His wife is a huge draft fan, though. She like sent me a DM like, who do you think the Chargers are going to pick? I'm like, why are you always worried about Chargers football? You just got there.
What do you care? What?
Yeah,
stop.
I don't know who the Chargers are going to pick. Stop.
She was a big Stan Humphrey fan. Leave her alone.
Was she?
Yes, she grew up on Stan Humphrey.
You think she grew up watching Stan Humphrey?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know. Who else can we name? Any other random? Ronnie Harmon.
They throw mean.
Ronnie Harmon.
And Stan Humphreys were her guys.
Well, did you ever see that piece on Ronnie Harmon dropping the ball? And wondering, why did he drop that?
By the way, so you know who I, you know, it's a little weird. I haven't really talked about this with you guys, but like they have a green room at NFL Network. And the green room is, you know, it's a small little area. Green rooms are, you know, holding places for guests a lot of times, sometimes hosts, whatever. And so you go in there and they've got these snacks and they got some Gatorade. Stuff like that. Now they got a TV. They made it a little nicer. They dressed it up since last time I was there. Just reconfigured it. So it's a little weird. Like last year I walked in and I was in there and I was in my suit getting ready. And in walks from the other stage, the big stage with the good players, with the real talent, is it's Kurt Warner and LaDainian Tomlinson and Terrell Davis. And they all come in. And I'm sitting there talking running game and draft prospects with Terrell Davis and LaDainian Tomlinson and Kurt Warner. I mean, it was the coolest thing in the world. And I got to tell you, LT is awesome, and Terrell Davis is one of the best guys I've ever talked to, both times. You know, Willie McGinnis is probably my favorite because Willie's as down-to-earth as anybody. But the very first time I met Willie, it was a little bit scary because I brought I got in with my suitcase. This is the first year I'm doing draft stuff. It's 2015. It's April. They bring me in to do TV. I'm all excited. I'm a little nervous. I fly in the same day. I got to rush over. I open up my suitcase. I'm getting dressed real quick. I just kind of leave it there on the floor in the dressing room. It's the smallest dressing room of NFL Network. You see all these lockers with all these names that you recognize of players and coaches who now do TV there. And then I go get my stuff on, and I go, and I go do the show. I come back. And all of a sudden, I hear Willie McGinnis goes, "Hey, whose stuff is this?" And I say, "Oh, that's mine." He goes, "Hey, I know you're new here, I guess. We don't just leave stuff all over the place, man. I don't care if you don't have a locker or not. We keep this thing clean." "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that, Mr. McGinnis. Yeah, let's not." And so he just grabbed my stuff off the ground, my suitcase, picked it up, and went and put it on a table.
Thank
like,
you.
All right.
Why are you being a slob? This isn't your house, okay? With your kids throwing up all over everything?
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely treated it like my house.
Willie's gone later on. Matt Money Smith tells me, you know, Willie McGinnis is probably the baddest dude in all of Los Angeles. I said, is he really? He goes, oh, yeah. Like, gang members don't mess with Willie. The story is, Willie McGinnis, there was a coach from USC that had gone to some, I don't know, he was at a high school game looking at somebody, and he went and stopped, and it was a rough neighborhood, and he was getting some gas. Well, all of a sudden, these guys started to, like, circle around him, and they just thought they had a mark, and he was about to get carjacked. All of a sudden, this horn starts blaring, and this car tears into a parking lot, and Willie McGinnis goes, hey, bleep, bleep, do we have a problem? The guys look, they say, oh, Willie, is that you? And Willie says, yeah. He goes, oh, no, we're cool, Willie, we're cool. Because, you know, Willie went to USC, and Willie knew this coach, and Willie was chilling everything out, and when they saw it was Willie, they're like, no, everything's good, Willie. We don't have a problem here, Willie. And they just scurried off to wherever they came from, and Willie shut it down, and he told the coach, never stop here again. He goes, I know these guys. They're not going to mess with you if I'm here, but if I wasn't here, it would have gone bad for you. And then Money just told me, Willie's that guy where everyone realizes Willie is not to be messed with. And if you see him locked up like he's playing five technique for you tomorrow, I mean, he looks like, you know, Indy and Ted Johnson and those guys still look. And so Willie was like that. So yesterday I go in, and it's Marvin Harrison and Reggie Bush. And as I'm in there, Reggie Wayne.
I was going to say Marvin Bush. Harrison, best
yeah,
watch.
Not Marvin Harrison. No, it was Reggie Bush and Reggie Wayne. So I'm in there, and I just sit down. I get a snack. I got a Cliff Bar and a Gatorade. I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, Reggie Wayne goes, he's just kind of looking at me. I notice he's looking at me, and I realize he thinks I'm just some guy who came in there, and I'm just macking on the food, which you're not supposed to unless you're an on-air guy. And I just sitting there eating, and he's kind of giving me a look like, what the hell? And I can't just say, oh, don't worry, guys. I'm on TV, too, just like you are. I'm the same as you. And instead, I also had a Heisman vacated as well, just like you, Reggie.
No, you didn't. But go ahead.
I had a teammate that shot up strip clubs just like you, Reggie Wayne.
No, you didn't.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. And so anyway, Cole Wright comes in, who's one of the hosts, and he's like, oh, do y'all know Lance? Yeah, Lance does draft stuff. Oh, okay. It was like, oh, I got my pass to eat these Cliff Bars. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Because Reggie Wayne might have called Marvin Harrison.
Oh, Reggie may have called Willie, and Willie would have said, no, he's good. But if Willie didn't say he's good, I would have got my ass beat.
That's right. No, you're damn
eating
right.
Cliff Bars out of you know, for them Cliff Bar watching me.
Right. All right, let's actually talk about the draft when we come back right here on ESPN.
Yeah, I think the Browns are trying to – I'm really getting worried that the Browns are just playing games with everybody that does the same thing I do, and they're just giving out a bunch of bad information. How about that?
I think that they are. I've got a theory on what's going to happen here. We'll do it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 748 ESPN 97.5, 7378037776. You mentioned the Browns. Very interesting. What is going on there? There's all kinds of stuff being thrown out there. A couple of weeks ago, it was Josh Allen. And then it was, can they take Saquon Barkley with the number one pick? And John Dorsey loves Saquon Barkley. Now it's Baker Mayfield. There's a story on Yard Barker. Could this actually be true that Baker Mayfield is the guy that the Browns are eyeing? And I think that's really... that really could be the case. There's a lot of smoke coming out of there about Baker Mayfield. Thing is, John Dorsey ain't even telling Jimmy Haslam who he's picking, the owner of the team. So I don't know where smoke is coming from or why. Well, you know, you got the number one pick. What the hell's the difference? Why do you care? Why are you hiding what you're going to do with the number one pick? Most teams by now, right, are already negotiating with the guy. Well, it used to be that you would negotiate. You don't even have to negotiate anymore, really, because it's pretty set in stone, although there is some leeway to give a little bit more here and there. But I really think, okay, what if it is Baker Mayfield? How does that change everything that everybody's been looking at for all these months?
I don't know. Okay, so here's one theory. One theory is everyone's trying to piece together what the Browns are going to do, because it actually is going to have a domino effect. Like, it could really change where a lot of these guys get drafted. I went through the scenario, and I think the top five looks totally different if Darnold is drafted first, or if Baker Mayfield is drafted first, or if Allen's drafted first. They clearly want to have as much stuff out there. There's no question. I don't really know that it benefits. Some other people said, what if they want someone to trade for the first pick? That's not what they want. Well, they wanted to trade for the fourth pick. I don't even really know that they love trading the fourth pick, because they're such good players. Like, I think they'd probably be fine trading, you know, from fourth to seventh, fourth to eighth, because they'd still get a really good player. But those teams don't need quarterbacks. The teams who need quarterback are at 11. They're at 12. I mean, potentially 16 with the Baltimore Ravens. They're all teams that you fall out of the really good players. So I don't know why they're doing this. Some people think, oh, it's to see where things are leaking from. Trust me when I tell you this. There's so much stuff getting out there in the world about what the Browns are doing. These are intentional leaks. They're not non-intentional. They're not secret leaks. There's a lot of intentional stuff being put out there. So I really have no idea. What they're going to do. One team that I talked to yesterday said, here's what they believe is happening. They want you to buy into Allen, and they want teams to buy into Mayfield, and they want the media. They want no one talking about Sam Darnold, and when they come in and give you Sam Darnold number one, you won't know who to believe anymore when it comes to Cleveland Brown stuff, because Cleveland is so secretive, and they want to build this. You know, this whole thought that they're the Patriots, where you never know what they're going to do, and that this is part of building that mystique, is that, man, we have no idea what they're going to do. Remember when we couldn't figure out the quarterback situation, it ended up being Darnold, and we thought it was Allen or Mayfield, because apparently that's what they want out there right now, Allen or Mayfield, and they're not even talking Darnold. What John Dorsey said in his press conference was, what matters to me is accuracy and guys who win. Okay, well, that sounds like Baker Mayfield. But you know what? It also kind of sounds like Sam Darnold. You know who it doesn't sound like? It doesn't sound like Josh Allen.
Or Josh Rosen.
Or Josh Rosen, for that matter, who I don't even... Josh Rosen, remember when Josh Rosen came out? I don't want to play for the Browns. And John Dorsey's like, good.
Good, yeah, we don't... Oh, I'm watching this...
I never said that. I said I would play for the Browns. I don't know where that came from. I'm Josh Rosen. I don't know why people are saying that I'm...
Well, hold on. Here is Josh Rosen. Actually, he was on with Andrew Siciliano, and I believe on your network. It is your network.
He wore headphones the whole interview.
Yeah, he was wearing headphones, and here he is talking about being that number one pick.
A decent chance you're number one.
I don't care. I just want to go to a team. I mean, you know,
but
my
would
entire
you be
life...
surprised?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really. I'm not paying attention to all that stuff very much. I mean, I've always been the number two guy. I mean, coming out of high school, Ricky Town was the dude. He was going to SC. I was going to UCLA. He was number one in the country. I was number two, and he was going to bring USC back to the promised land. Blake Barnett. After Ricky kind of faded away a little bit, Blake Barnett was the Elite 11 MVP. He was the dude that was going to go to Bama, win a couple championships, and call it quits, go to the league as a first overall pick. You don't really hear about him too much. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, these dudes that are these exotic, cool, like flashy quarterbacks, that number one pick, all this stuff. And I'm number two, and you know what? I'm going to sit here. And in a couple of years, when all is said and done, I'm confident that I'll still be standing.
You know.
So, you know, it's interesting. I heard that quote. I saw him make the comments yesterday. And how does that rub you? Isn't it interesting? I want Dell's thought on this, too. I want both of you guys. You know, it is easy and this gets to how we kind of look at guys and we put them in a box. It easy because of the narrative that's already out there on Josh Rosen. It is easy to hear that and go, man, he's a cocky kid. He's a really cocky guy. But why? But if it were a different player, man, like if Jay Cutler says it, it's cocky. If Phillip Rivers says it, it's brashness and confidence. You know what I mean? And I think Josh Rosen is in. He's being put into the Jay Cutler mold, and maybe rightfully so. I mean, I don't know which. I don't know if it's right or wrong. But his narrative has already been set that he's a cocky guy. That he is, you know, by some of the things that he's said and done in the past, he's partly responsible for it. But is there anything wrong at the heart of what he said? Is there anything wrong with what he was saying there, or how he said it?
No, no. But it's just an entire attitude. I don't give a rat's ass about this, or I don't care about, you know what I'm saying? It is an entire, there's nothing wrong with what he said. You know what? Other than, people doubt me, and people say it all the time. People doubt me, and everybody's got me as the second, whatever. I'm going to be the guy. And you know what? That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. And I don't have any problem with the dude. He likes to read, that he puts out some thoughts about CTE and about college players being paid. And you know what? That he's, you know, that he actually has a bit of a social conscience. He can afford to because his parents are rich and he played tennis. And you know what? That he's a millennial. And all of these things that seem to be the knock against him that all seem kind of stupid. All these things about Josh Rosen seem kind of stupid. The one thing that I think sticks is, well, you didn't win. You know, I mean, Jared Goff didn't win either at Cal, but he had but UCLA had a lot more resources and it looked like a lot better football players, and Josh Rosen still couldn't win.
That's my biggest problem. That's my biggest problem. But do you know, so Jim Mora was on the show with me the other day on Path to the Draft, and he, and off the air, we talked a lot off the air, and he's really upset that he thinks what he said was misconstrued. Now, look, he said what he said. He said, when I call him a millennial, that wasn't meant as a slam. And I asked my kids, like, was that, they are millennials. Is that a slam? No, Dad, that wasn't a slam. You said what he did. But he's got to know there's a connotation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to know. He's a sharp guy. He's got to know there's a connotation. But he also said that Josh Rosen intentionally roomed with walk-ons and lower-income kids so that he could expose them to his world and he could be exposed to their world, that he spoke out about the payment stuff because that, you know, he thinks that athletes are being taken advantage of who are disadvantaged, and, you know, that's his way of speaking out for them. And then there are people who have politicized that and said, oh, now he's not going to get – teams don't want to draft him because he is – you know, because he is going to be a liberal or stand for this. And then there's other people saying, oh, well, we don't need another one of these guys who's going to be out there worried about social justice more than he's worried about football. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't care about, what I care about is my biggest concerns are he hangs onto the ball too long by sticking to his first and second read. He doesn't just check down and he takes sacks. He has a 30% completion percentage on deep balls because he hangs the ball up and lets defenders get back into the play and break up passes. These are the things that concern me the most. That great comeback against Texas A&M that everyone talks about, ask any Aggie. They'll remember this. Go look at two of the touchdowns. Both should have been interceptions. They were miraculous. Mm-hmm. One was a bounced off the
right through the safety's hands. Went right.
Yeah,
Armani that went right through his hands?
Exactly. And that was what an amazing comeback. Like, dude, that should have been two picks. That should have never even been a comeback. So, but he gets credit for it. Kind of like Joe Flacco got credit for beating Raheem Moore when Raheem Moore undercut a pass, and all of a sudden Joe Flacco was getting a $100 million contract, and he wasn't good.
Right. And you know, he's got all the skills. I was watching. I think
Rosen's good. Rosen's talented. I think he's the second best.
I was watching. I think it was Brock Huard this morning, and he was like, "Oh, that's easy. Rosen's the best quarterback in this draft. He's got all of the tools, and he does. He throws a beautiful ball. All the things. Whether or not, you know, the head. Listen, are you going to be? Is Sam Darnold going to be able to get rid of the turnovers? That's his biggest question, right?
Right.
Is
hey, did Deshaun?
Yeah,
turnovers. Did Deshaun? Deshaun didn't.
In six games, he had 8 interceptions.
Yeah, 19 touchdowns.
20 interceptions as a rookie.
Right, but he made big and 19 touchdowns. He made big plays, but you pay for it with some.
That's just it.
That's right. But wait a minute. Those are his first 6 games. You don't think that he's going to cut down on turnovers?
Who's that?
Deshaun.
Sam Darnold.
Deshaun.
Oh, Deshaun. No, I think he's always going to be a high turnover guy.
I
just
don't.
Like Eli Manning was. Eli Manning has been his whole career. I think Deshaun probably will be a high interception guy, but it doesn't bother me. When I say high, I mean like 14 plus, 15 plus. I think he more than likely will be. That's kind of who he is. He's always been that in college. I don't think it's going to change. And he's not in a super dangerous passing attack at Clemson. Like, you know, a lot of passes off play action. He threw to tremendous receivers while he was there. I mean, NFL, tremendous NFL caliber receivers. And he still had a lot of interceptions. I think it's always going to be who he is. But I'm okay with that because he hits home runs. Brett Favre was always a high interception guy. You knew that was going to be
right,
the case.
Right, right. Hey, it's 8 o'clock. Time to talk about saving people money. Your good buddy Lanny is with us here on ESPN 97.5. So why don't you two talk about saving?
So, as a matter of fact, Lanny, I just saw Dan Helly. And he used your service. I introduced him to Bill Advisor out here in L.A. at NFL Network. We were talking about it. I was talking about it with a friend from Texas who works here. And Dan said, well, does that work outside of Texas? And I said, absolutely. And I want to bring this up. I know we didn't talk about this, but I do want to bring this up. What you guys do, there's certain things where you have some limitations, but you can negotiate the bills for people who are listening right now who have friends or family members who are not in the city of Houston, who are not in the state of Texas. You guys can still do work for them as well.
No, that's exactly right, Lance. And look, it's, you know, everybody's got cell phone, everybody's got internet, everybody's got TV. Those are the most common ones. We can help you with insurance anywhere they are in the country. Energy, there's certainly some limitations. Not every state has some of the deregulation like we have here. There's some that do, and some places it's different. Some places it's, you know, it is what it is. But we can help people all over the place. And in fact, we love referrals, and it's a big source of our business.
And home and the homeowners insurance, I've been telling people. So when I first called about 7 months ago, you guys couldn't save me anything. Then I called, I just texted, and you guys saved me $700. Like, there have been some changes on the insurance side. This is a huge saver for you now.
No, it absolutely is. Look, that's something that we do. Being in a position where we kind of don't care what company you work with, we just want you to have the best deal. You know, it allows us to not go out and be captive to one company or two. We can go shop the entire marketplace and cut deals where we can get good stuff for our customers. And right now, the homeowners insurance we're seeing for our customers anyway, by and large, is just ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. Guys, if you want a piece of this action, make sure, or if you have a friend or family member who wants it, why don't you just simply text GO to 232323 and get started. They make it hassle-free. You're not on the phone all day. They're on the phone for you, working for you. A lot of times it gets finished in that same exact day. All you have to do is text GO to 232323, and I promise you, the savings are going to be well worth one text message. GO to 232323 or BillAdvisor.com. Thanks, Lanny.
Be good.
ESPN 97.5.